Hey, we wanted to thank Nemesis Pest Control. Nemesis Pest Control serves Southern Oregon, and they help people eradicate things like rats, mice, not necessarily criminals, but earwig problems, spider problems, ant problems, year-round, and they can keep them away from your home. Yeah, where I live, we live near a Talon Irrigation District, and man, you got to do some killing for sure. And that's killing we can endorse, so thanks for your help. I am here this evening with Sergeant Sean Richards, and he is with Jackson County Sheriff's Office, specifically search and rescue. And we wanted to talk about a few things with search and rescue because it's generally pretty interesting on our feed, and to me personally in general, I like search and rescue stories, pretty neat stuff. Sergeant, how long have you been doing search and rescue?
So I've been with the Sheriff's Office here in Jackson County doing search and rescue for 9 years. I came over here from Klamath County in 2012.
Okay, so quite a while. And you did law enforcement when you were in Klamath County as well?
I did. I was with the Klamath County Sheriff's Office for 14 years prior to that.
Awesome. Thank you for your service. Appreciate that for sure. And so search and rescues, pretty interesting because it's if we're listening to the scanner, which we do a lot, there's the constant thefts, trespassing, fires. They're pretty common things, but when a search and rescue one comes across the scanner, it's usually pretty unusual for us. And we see all kinds of, we hear about all kinds of stuff and then see it in the paper, see it in news stories and things like that. Everything from, I guess, you know, boat rescues to missing people out in the woods and whatnot. There's pretty big variety of stuff you guys cover, yeah?
Yeah, we're absolutely very busy here in Jackson County. So in 2020, we had 160 land-based missions and probably over 200 on the marine side.
Oh, wow.
Because as you can well imagine, during the summer months on the Rogue River with all the rafting,
yeah,
we do a lot of picking people up and getting them back to their boats and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll bet. I've seen a few of those firsthand where you guys had to be called off because somebody was clinging to a tree out in the middle or on the side and they had either fell out of a raft or got a boat hung up on something.
Yep, so we're pretty busy with that. We have great partners, though, so we get it all done.
Excellent. And kind of like the mail service, neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor anything. I mean, you guys are out trying to find people when they get lost in the snow, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have the great side of the house at the Sheriff's Office. I have search and rescue, I have Marine Patrol and Forest Patrol. So the majority of my time is spent out doing, you know, in the outdoors doing those things, and the trade-off for that is, yep, I'm on call 24/7, 365 days a year.
Oh, yeah.
Besides if it's on vacation in there. So it is busy, and we got a great group here.
I imagine holidays is when a lot of those happens, too, so you probably get called out on some of your holidays, huh?
Oh, you bet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Search and rescue, you know, they get called out, and there are some citizens involved sometimes when you're searching for people. Is that right?
Absolutely. So 95% of search and rescue is volunteer-based. So there's
excellent.
Myself and my assistant, who are the full-time folks, and then we have five deputies who have other jobs but are trained in SAR. We call them SAR bros.
Okay.
And they come out and help us when we need extra help. But other than that, the rest is all search and rescue folks that are volunteers, and we have about 160 currently.
Oh, that's incredible. I had no idea. So a lot of people want to volunteer for search and rescue, and I imagine there's some classes and things like that they go through to know what they're doing.
Absolutely. So the first year of service that they spend with us, they first have to do that's about a 20-hour academy to get them ready to go on missions. We take care of a lot of the basic stuff to keep men out of trouble, and then we get them in the field and give them, outdoing what we do. And then once a year, we put on an academy where they do an additional 40 hours of training to get state certified. So, and then after they've been in for 6 months, if they want to do some sort of a specialty, they can do that as well. And, our specialties are really, we have a ton of them. We have a dive team. We have canine, mounted, ATV. We have a technical rope team. We have a snow response team, a drone team. We have a tech team that keeps all of our electronics and mapping and stuff going. And we have a large animal rescue, as well as our newest is a bike team. So Yeah, so that's excellent. Once they get their general SAR training, they can go out and do specialty training. And the average person puts in about 200 hours the first year in just training alone.
Learning what they need to know so that you also keep the rescuers safe. Don't want to lose a rescuer, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're truly
trying to find somebody.
Yeah, they're truly unpaid professionals.
Right.
They, we have people that have been in our group for 31 years.
Holy cow.
Down to just, 6-7 months. So we have a wide variety of people as far as how long they've been involved with search and rescue. And we have people from every walk of life. So it's actually a lot of fun. You get a lot of diversity and, demographics of any way you can think of it. Yeah. We have physicians, attorneys, students, retired folks, you name it, we got it.
Yeah, a little bit more serious than the average hobby, right?
Yeah.
That's cool stuff. And, in all honesty, where we live, search and rescue needs to be a big thing. The mountains are treacherous. Our pass is the last settled pass on the I-5 corridor back in the 1800s. And tons of snow in the mountains. Fast-moving river. That river's taken a lot of lives since I've lived here. I think I've lived here for close to 30 years now, and always hear about one or two. Tell us a little bit more about some of the specialties. Divers. That one was interesting to me. You guys have guys that have their certified diving license come out and look for things? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a public safety divers that are required to be certified. We use a company called ERDI, and it's quite a bit of extra training as well.
Yeah.
And the equipment, we're lucky enough here to be able to supply equipment for our team. But, and they have to do, a lot of ongoing training to stay certified as well.
Gotcha. What it's maybe a little bit grotesque to discuss, but at that point, if you're calling a diver, are they diving for bodies?
No, so we call it a dive rescue team. Unfortunately, we do have to do recovery
right, from
time to time, but the entire goal is to get there inside that golden hour where, all our waters are cold even in the summer months. And if we can get to them in that golden hour, we may be able to...
People can survive.
Yeah, survive. So.
Yeah, that's great. You could get somebody out of a car in the river with a diver. That would be incredible. Yeah.
Yep. Doesn't happen all the time, but that's the goal.
Yeah. And you guys have a lot of equipment, I would imagine, to cover all of those bases. I know I've seen, if I've been at different things, ATVs and things like that on display, boats, obviously. What is some of the specialized equipment that search and rescue uses?
Yeah, so our boats are actually, we're pretty lucky. The majority of them, a couple of them are county owned and from a search and rescue, but the majority are supplied to us by the Oregon State Marine Board.
Oh.
For our Marine deputies, but SAR can use them as well to go out and serve the boaters of Jackson County. Uh-huh. We have snowcats, snowmobiles, ATVs, side-by-sides, and we have a lot of equipment, but really they're just tools of the trade.
Yeah, for sure. Snowcats made right here in Southern Oregon.
That's right. Yeah, both of our cats are Tuckers. So
one of my clients is Tucker Snowcat. I do marketing and develop websites and things like that. So I built theirs and know a lot about snowcats from having to build every single model and saw a lot of military and search and rescue snowcat pictures being shipped all over the country, all over the world, actually. That I imagine comes in handy. I've been on one and got to go Christmas tree hunting, interestingly enough, and you can go so many places in one of those four-track articulating snowcats.
Yeah, and this time of year, they're busy. So we've been out probably, I'd say, at least every other day getting somebody out of the snow somewhere. Uh-huh. And it used to be, we would take a four-wheel drive truck, try to get to them, and, you'd end up getting stuck yourself. And we don't even bother doing that anymore. We take a cat in and...
Saves a lot of winch time if you're getting somebody out that's in a car, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, we want to get them out of the woods as quickly as we can, especially when it's cold.
Very cool, very cool. You said there's two, you and another person that are the primary leaders of search and rescue that keep things organized, and there's multiple teams, these teams that we were talking about. Some things dual-purposed, like the Marine boats, that might be the same people that are the same deputies that are out managing the waterways relative to fishing and those kind of things. And that boat, if there's a rescue needed, may end up out on the river or that kind of stuff. Is that how it works?
Absolutely, yep.
And then dual-purpose deputies, too. Like, we've had a couple of canine deputies on here from MPD. Some of your canine deputies, are they specific search dogs, or are they also dual use for either narcotics or tracking down bad guys.
Yeah, so our canines in search and rescue are just search and rescue dogs.
Okay.
So they're actually owned by the volunteer handlers.
Oh, very cool.
And they're great, and they train hard. They train 2 days a week.
Oh, no kidding.
To keep their dogs up to snuff, and they have to meet standards every year. And yeah, it's a huge commitment.
Scent trailing dogs, is that usually what they're doing? Yeah.
So we have what's called air scent dogs, which basically, if you take a 5-acre parcel, they're going to go out in that 5-acre parcel and find any human that's out there, come back to their handler, and alert that they found somebody, and then take their handler back to that person.
Show them the way.
Yep. So they're just any human.
Oh, cool.
And then we have trailing dogs, which are looking for a specific scent, okay, and they're following that scent to that person.
Ah, makes sense. Looking for a specific human or trying to find anybody that's out there, and 5 acres is kind of their working range. And
no, they can do more than that. I was just using a reference. Yeah,
move on to another 5 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then we have HRD dogs, which are human remains detection dogs.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Sad but true story. Got to have it. And I noticed with dogs, it seems to be each a very specialized training. Whatever that dog does, that's its main job. Where you probably have 15 jobs.
Yeah, and our dogs, most of our dogs are, they do two things.
Yeah.
Most of them do, either air scent or tracking, trailing, and then they usually do the HRD as well.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
And the snow response group, you guys have some snowmobiles and a snowcat or two, I imagine?
Yep. We have snowcats, snowmobiles. We have people that do skiing, Nordic skiing.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have a lot of snowshoers.
Telemark guys that can get way in the backwoods and still make it out with a sled with a person on it. I got my knee busted up on Mount Shasta when I was 18 skiing and got a ride down in a sled with an inflatable cast on behind a Telemark skier. I don't remember much of the ride because of shock and all, but
yeah, it's a once in a life experience, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So our goal is to get to people as quickly as we can. And, we often have to, take them as far as we can in a snowcat or on a snowmobile, and then they'll deploy onto snowshoes, skis, whatever they have to do
to get the last bit in there. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. And do people join search and rescue, go through a lot of classes and bring their own snowmobiles, their own quads, their own equipment?
They don't. They generally just use our equipment, except for the horses and the dogs. They use their own animals.
They kind of need to know their own animals when it comes to the horses and dogs, I'm sure. Yeah. You have some people that do horseback search. Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
You can cover more territory that way and a little more treacherous territory as opposed to a quad, I imagine.
Yeah. No, they can go in the woods anywhere, and they have a great advantage of being higher in the air as well.
Yeah,
that see makes over sense. Brush, things like that.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, between just another tool in the toolbox.
Between the dogs on the ground and the horses up high, you probably see most things that you'd cover that way.
Yeah.
Neat stuff. What other kinds of things would you like the public to know about search and rescue and what they do?
Yeah, it's really person-based, and our unit here, with the majority of the work that I do is all based on keeping people trained and ready to go. And the mission is our number one priority.
Yeah.
So, our slogan is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. And that's really what we concentrate on is, we want people to call for help when they need help, and we're going to get to them and take care of them, get them home as quickly as we can.
That's awesome.
And that's why we have everything from ground searchers is where everybody starts. You learn from the beginning and go forward and through all the equipment, specialized training, and then even to the aviation unit that, the whole idea is to get to people quickly.
And you guys do some drone work too, is that right?
Yes. Yep. We do drones. They're becoming more popular, as time goes along, and they can cover a lot of country. They're not the end all be all, but they're a great tool. Just like I said, another tool in that toolbox. And we do have aircraft. We have two fixed-wing aircraft that are volunteers that actually bring their own airplane and volunteer their time. And then we have a helicopter crew as well. That SAR is a crew on that, but we contract with Brim Aviation out of Ashland to supply those services.
That's excellent. Wow. That's incredible coverage. I like to hike and hunt and fish and stuff like that. And hope I never need it. I've got turned around a few times, but always made it back, and I try to GPS things now so that I can make it back wherever I'm going, even if I get a few steps off or a hill off or whatnot. But yeah, it makes me feel safe to know that there is that, you don't want to call search and rescue, but if you have to, I mean, it could save a relative. Man, glad you guys are out there doing that. I'm seeing here that 18 years or older with a GED or better, and you can work on joining search and rescue. Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. You come in, get an application in. We do a background check.
Uh-huh.
And if you clear the background check, then we get people involved. We normally bring people on quarterly. In the normal world, we bring people on quarterly. We've done it twice since COVID started.
Yeah, it's a little harder then.
Yep. Because we got to train those people, and getting people in one room is not easy.
No, yeah, the scheduling is probably pretty rough for that. And I would imagine when you're not rescuing people, you guys are just constantly running trainings and things like that for that many people.
Yeah, you bet. You know, and like I said, we have something for everyone.
Yeah.
We have people that are really strong hikers. We have people that, you know, do just support to help us feed the other searchers. Do communications, all those different
things. I was wondering about communications. It's my past corporate line of work had to do with broadcast towers and internet and those various things. Do you have people that run communications in the field? They set up like a GMRS radio repeater or something like that out in the Ozark or the backwoods?
Yeah, so we have dedicated channels to search and rescue on VHF radios and ham as well. That's another specialty group that I forgot that we have, a Jackson County Aries. Oh. So they're a ham-based radio group as well. But yeah, they do communications for us. We have portable repeaters we can put up, and whatever we got to do to be able to communicate.
I love that stuff. I do have your frequencies programmed into my handhelds with the button blocked out so I don't actually hit anything. But you know, living in Talent and being in town, there's not much I'm going to hear on that frequency because you guys are usually out a lot further than that.
Yeah, you bet.
What kind of people and resources are you guys in the most need of? A lot of people will see this thing, and you might reach some folks that either want to donate time or things. And we'd just like to hear what kind of things you guys need the most.
Yeah, so we're really looking for everyone. Like I said, we have a job for everybody. You know, if you think you can, it would be interesting to you, you know, come down, take a tour, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how basically we have big missions, and we always have an uptick in new volunteer applications
after
a big mission that makes it to the news.
Runs it through a few news stations, and people are inspired to get involved, which hard way to get advertising, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, and you know, our volunteers are amazing. One would think that the busier they are, the less we would see them. And they're the opposite. The busier we are, the more things we're into, people just keep showing up.
That's what I see in the charity world. I end up working elbow to elbow with other business owners that, you know, they all own more than one business, and they're busy as heck, but they always seem to get the community service stuff out there, and you bump into the same people at different charities. I would imagine the same kind of thing. You have some people like doctors and attorneys that have completely full schedules, but feel indebted to their community and wanting to serve in some way.
Yeah, you bet. You know, we talk about, a lot of people see the equipment and stuff we have and sometimes question, you know, do they really need that? And it's true. We have great support from our county commissioners, our sheriff, you know, to have the best quality stuff that we have, keep our people safe. But also SAR saves Jackson County a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of volunteer labor that we don't have to pay for as citizens.
20,000 hours last year.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, you times that by minimum wage, it's a pretty good chunk of change.
And as far as any, they got a lot of equipment complaints. I've just never really thought about it that way. In all honesty, I want the people searching to be safe, and especially like now they're volunteering too. One thing, when you have a county employee, and definitely you have to keep them safe, they're your county employee, and now you have people just giving up their time. You can't have them using bunk equipment or anything like that. But even beyond that, I think people would stop having that question the first time their relative needed to be rescued. Yeah. I want you to call out the helicopter for my kids. I'm okay with that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you know, and we do a lot of course, the COVID thing has ruined it, but normally in years we do a lot of public service as well.
Yeah.
You'll see us out at the different runs and stuff doing traffic control.
Yeah.
You know, we support the public, and we've usually had about 80 missions on the front of a public service a year as well.
Yeah, and you guys end up at fairs and concerts and things like that, even to do a little public relations, I've seen. And there's been things I've been at the past where there was a search and rescue display, and there was a boat that wasn't on duty at the time, and a couple of quads, and a couple of officers hanging out, talking to people, which I think that's a great way to relate to the community.
Yeah, and bring people in, you bet.
Well, I appreciate you being here. We're going to wrap things up, and I really like the insight into search and rescue, and behind you, we're playing some of the pictures that you sent, and people will be able to see those as we talk. So appreciate you. Take care.
All right. Thank you. All
right. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for tuning in to the Scanner Group Crowdsourced Crime and Safety Podcast with Ryan Mallory and Jared Bannery from Thief Hunter Labs. Make sure to subscribe today for notifications about the next show. Visit us at www.thiefhunterlabs.com or on Facebook as Thief Hunter Labs in the search bar.